This is Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And let's start with some interesting news from New Hampshire, where today Bernie Sanders surged past Hillary Clinton in a new poll of likely Democratic voters. 44% of respondents told pollsters from Franklin Pierce University that Sanders is their current first choice, compared to 37% who chose Clinton.
Now, it is still very early in the race, but after Clinton spoke at a community forum in Keene, New Hampshire yesterday, she privately met with members of the Black Lives Matters movement. They had planned to protest sentencing policies that went into effect during the presidency of her husband, Bill Clinton.
Julius Jones was among the activists who met with Hillary Clinton. He's the founder of the Worcester chapter of Black Lives Matter, and he joins us now. Mr. Jones, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
So you met with Hillary Clinton for about 15 to 20 minutes, and I understand that one of the questions that was asked basically asked this, that that you and your family, referring to Hillary Clinton, have been personally and politically responsible for policies causing health and human service disasters in communities of color through the domestic and international war on drugs, which then you told Hillary Clinton she's championed as First Lady, Senator, and Secretary of State. So I'm curious, when you say personally responsible, what specifically were you referring to?
That that Hillary, as part of the First Family, and on her own as Senator and Secretary of State, has been personally making decisions that negatively affected Black people in the United States and propagated white supremacist violence through the increase of the mass incarceration in the United States.
Forgive me, I'm a little confused here. I mean, when you say white supremacist violence, are you intimating that that Hillary Clinton was acting from a position of white supremacy?
There is a long history of white supremacy in the United States, and to pretend that it doesn't exist isn't fruitful, I don't think. And so what I'm saying is, just being very direct about it, is that white supremacist violence is perpetuated by the United States government, and it's perpetuated through policies such as those that were advanced by the Clintons in their war on drugs, their tough on crime, and other policies that negatively affected the Black community, and which led to the increases that we see today of the millions of people and the millions of Black people who are behind bars.
Well, how did Hillary Clinton respond?
Her response was, and I don't want to misquote her, was very measured. She didn't really say that she was responsible in the sense that we were thinking. She said that instead the policies were failed policies.
But I guess I'm still confused, because I don't really understand how you see Hillary Clinton as personally responsible. It was her husband who was president, who was signing, you know, sentencing reforms into law. Perhaps maybe as her time as senator. I just want to know if you had any specific instances where you were saying, you know, Senator Clinton or Secretary of State Clinton, you did X, which we believe has then led to policies that were harming minority communities in the United States.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from with that question. I think the goal of our interaction with Hillary Clinton, who even though she wasn't directly president, was definitely integrally involved with the process of the First Family becoming the First Family in Bill Clinton's presidency, and she went about it she went about it in a way that advanced policies that brought harm to Black families through the increase in mass incarceration. And I don't want to get into that. It was more of like, how did she, as a person who was more responsible than most families, actually feel about the policies and their real effect on Black people?
Right. So you told the New Republic that you were seeking answers that she might have given, in your words, from her heart, and that you didn't hear that. What exactly did you want to hear from her heart?
Well, Hillary Clinton is a person, right? And she is a mother, and you know, she has a family, and to take it out of the intellectual realm that it often lives in, where people talk about the numbers of billions that we're spending on incarcerating people, the abhorrent amount of people who are behind bars. But I really wanted to turn it in a direction of actual individuals whose lives and bodies were chained, instead of some societal problem in the sense of like something external, you know, something that was intellectual. We wanted to see where she lived in her heart and mind about the decisions that were made and how they negatively affected people.
But Julius Jones, if I may ask, I mean, I heard you say that she sort of had systemic level answers for you, but aren't systemic answers genuinely appropriate here? I mean, it was policy changes that created this culture, laws that ended up with gives us this mass incarceration problem. I mean, so aren't systemic solutions really part of the picture here to solve these problems that were created by systemic choices in the 80s and 90s?
I think if you limit the conversation to the 80s and 90s, then it certainly does look like there's systemic choices, and then the solutions would also be found in systemic changes. But I think actually what's going on is that there's a much larger, much deeper, much longer history of anti-blackness in the United States that no politician has taken on as something that they want to change. We brought that up to her, and that there's a larger, deeper current of anti-blackness that's going on, and suggested that some of the real work also has to include engaging people's hearts. And she vehemently responded that you're not going to change hearts. You're not going to change the way that people feel. Not all people feel. You'll be able to change some, but the best way to do it would be through systemic changes. Where, from my personal perspective, I think that the United States needs to have a much more intimate conversation, in addition to the conversations about policy changes, about what is actually going on in the American creed, right? Because it's a deeper problem than just the money that we're spending. It's a deeper problem than just the lives that are ruined by the system. Right. It's that people genuinely feel like black people, African Americans, are not Americans. People genuinely feel that black people's lives mean less. Mm. And that is rooted in something that's much deeper than policy that started in the 80s and 90s.
Well, so Julius Jones, final question to you. I mean, Hillary Clinton, in a way, amongst her Democratic rivals for the presidential nomination, was kind of out early on this, because back in April, she gave a speech calling for the end of mass incarceration and for significant criminal justice reform. But if you could, from any of the presidential candidates, Democratic or Republican, I mean, in an ideal world, what specifically would you want to hear from them?
I want to hear candidates say that white privilege and white supremacist problems, white supremacist violence, are real things. I want them to validate them and to give voice to them and to treat them like a real problem that has a potential solution. The science and the study of racism is deep. We have proof that racism does exist. What the country needs is a leader who will say, this is a problem that we can solve, and we can solve it through a mixture of education, we can solve it through divestment from the prison industrial complex and reinvestment in communities, and we can be intentional about addressing what Hillary Clinton said was America's original sin, which has not quite been corrected. And until it is corrected, until we actually have that conversation, we're just going to see new and morphed ways of making money off of black bodies, which is really what this is about.
Well, Julius Jones is the founder of the Worcester chapter of Black Lives Matter. Julius Jones, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much.